You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The economy, the American economy, the European economy, the Asian economy dominated by China. All of this is part of the uncertainty today. Are we in a recession? Are we headed for a recession? Is there reason to worry about your job? What about your savings? I welcome Elizabeth Peak, who writes a column for The Hill, a column for Fox News, much on Fox Business, to comment on Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, who represents a change of direction from 2021 to, most recently, committed to jumbo hikes. That's what the Europeans call 0.75 points, jumbo hikes. Jumbo hike earlier in the summer, jumbo hike later in the summer, and now we're expecting more jumbo hikes for the rest of the year to contain price instability, aka inflation. We begin with, is Jerome Powell being influenced in some fashion by outside voices, knowing that by tightening, he is slowing the economy and risking what he calls a hard landing? Liz, a very good evening to you. Thank you. Do you see evidence, because you speak often on television and you read widely, do you see evidence that Jerome Powell is softening on his course? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, certainly all eyes are on Jerome Powell, and all the indications are, certainly from recent comments, not just from Powell, but from other members of his board, that they are going to stay the course. Jay Powell kind of surprised Wall Street a couple of weeks ago by coming out very aggressively on the need to combat inflation. And I think what we've seen, we're now in one of those periods where good news is bad news. If we have a strong labor report, as we have had recently, or if construction spending is better than expected, or even if S&P earnings are better than expected, the market tends to go down because that suggests that interest rates are going to continue to be ratcheted up. And so we're in one of those terrible periods where something comes along that you think, yay, you know, everybody's got a job, but then whammo, the market trades down. And, we had a very good rally during the summer. 13%, I think, the S&P rebounded from its lows because people were increasingly pessimistic about the economy. They saw a slowdown taking place, and they figured that the Federal Reserve had accomplished its soft landing objective. Now that thinking has changed. So I think we're looking at some pretty tough rate increases going forward. Certainly September seems now baked in the cake, 75 basis point rise. And, it's all really because the continued reads on the economy are pretty strong. We had the service sector ISM number out today. It was a little bit better than expected. By the way, the Atlanta GDP Now number, which we all look at, is now over 2% again. It was at 1.6 for the third quarter. I think it's actually at 2.6 now because spending is better than expected. And look at rates. The 10-year now is one of the highest levels this year, 3.3% today in trading, maybe a little higher than that. The story is all about higher interest rates and really whether the economy has such intrinsic strength that it will continue to grow even in the midst of this. I mean, that's really the sort of battle that's being waged. And honestly, John, nobody knows where this goes. I think some of the sort of black swans out there are, number one, energy prices. We've seen in Europe that, you know, an interruption in energy supplies can cause prices to go sky high, and that is really a fundamental underpinning of every economy. Germany's obviously tipping into recession. UK looks like it's going to do the same. And one of the big issues for both of those countries is an enormous increase, like sixfold in the UK, I think more than that in Germany, in the cost of power. So in the United States, natural gas prices are up over twofold. When people, I think it's 52% of the households in America, heat their homes with natural gas, as we get into the heating season, that's going to hurt consumers and reboot inflation possibly. That, I think, is something we have to be very, very concerned about.
You and I both follow consumer sentiment because, yes, we can do hard numbers. We can do what people perceive to be true about the economy. And the Wall Street Journal reporting in these last days, over the Labor Day holiday, the University of Michigan survey of consumer sentiment measures how U.S. consumers feel about their personal finances. Recent surveys have shown that consumers have rarely felt more downbeat. Rarely felt. Liz, we're down around the 1980 recession levels. We're down in the depths of the Cold War. We've exceeded the gloom of November 2008, which takes some doing because we crashed the world markets with the housing bubble. I understand that when things go gloomy, you race to the bottom to see what's worse. But right now, these numbers suggest that America is expecting not just an ordinary recession, but the end of the world.
Yeah, I think the numbers have gotten slightly better over the last couple of months. In June, I think it was, the number for consumer sentiment was unbelievably low. I mean, it had gone down to 50 from 72.8 in September of last year. And there really was no tremendous reason for it. I mean, in the sense that probably the thing, I mean, clearly inflation was the number one concern, but what clearly drives sentiment historically has been the jobs market, and the jobs market still is strong. I would argue it's weakening. We sort of see that around the edges of unemployment trends and the JOLTS report coming in a little bit less. But you still can get a job if you want one. And let's face it, COVID is less of an issue than it was a year ago. So the plunge in sentiment over the last several months has been shocking, truly shocking. I think part of it is political malaise, if you want to go back to Jimmy Carter's word. I think people are just so fed up with feckless leadership, maybe in both parties, I don't know, but you know, there doesn't seem to be a will on the part of the Democrats to solve the problems that we have. People are not happy with the president. Certainly that has to be weighing on sentiment. And again, we had a pretty big sell-off in stock and house prices over the past year. And even though we had a rebound this summer, you know, that's underway again. Home prices certainly are going down. And again, stock prices. So, you know, I think people don't know what to be optimistic about, John. They're not happy with the war in Ukraine. They're not happy with our relationship with China, rightly so. They see Europe in a tailspin. There's just not much cause for bullishness. I think all the rancor politically is just really not helping.
Judy Shelton, you know her well, writing in the op-ed for the Wall Street Journal. She's at the Independent Institute. Presents the case that while the Jerome Powell and the Federal Reserve are going in the right direction to solve the price instability, to solve inflation, the Congress and the White House are going in the other direction. Spending money, the Inflation Reduction Act, does not reduce inflation. At the same time, the president is spending or proposing to spend money to forgive the student loans, most of which are attached to people with very good educations who are earning lots of money. You've written about this, Liz. It's as if Washington is a town that is of two continents, and the two continents don't talk to each other. The Federal Reserve is in one continent all by itself, and other people's money are on the other continent. Do the American people recognize that these handouts are the problem?
Well, I Jay Powell has talked about that. If you remember when inflation began to heat up over the last year, Jay Powell was saying, we can't, the Federal Reserve cannot alone tackle this problem. We have to have a concerted effort between the fiscal and the monetary sides of the equation. Obviously, he has no control over the fiscal side. That's what the Democrats are doing. His problem, and I think this really was a problem for the country, is that fast backwards a year before that, he was imploring Congress to spend because his argument was with interest rates at zero and monetary and all the quantitative easing going on, we could not possibly do more to stimulate the economy that at that time was depressed by COVID. So Congress had to do their bit. Well, then he had to do a real major pivot and say, stop spending. And he just, and Congress hasn't really gotten that message. What's interesting to me is that Biden is touting the fact that the deficit, which is still going to be over $1 trillion, which used to be considered a lot of money, is down from the year where they packed in every relief bill known to man, and it was almost $2 trillion. And yet, here he comes along with this student bailout thing because his polling with students and with minorities is so terrible right now. Democrats are losing ground with Hispanics like mad and with young people. So this is a way to basically buy votes, get people out to vote in the midterm elections for Democrats, but it's going to cost, today the Journal ran a piece, and they're not alone, citing analysis that says it'll cost $1 trillion. So it isn't paid for. It is definitely a step in the wrong direction, and it's really a cynical political move when, in fact, voters' main concern is not student loans. It is truly inflation, and this is an inflationary act that they've taken on. And by the way, you're quite right. The Inflation Reduction Act is not helping inflation either. So, I think that president had a bump in the approval ratings because they got some things passed. I think the student loan thing is a real problem for him and for Democrats. In fact, one group, which is a right-leaning group, the Trafalgar Group, did a survey of New York voters showing that the Republican candidate for governor is closing on the Democrat, Kathy Hochul. And the explanation was partly that people are really burned up about this student loan program. And so I think if that can happen in New York, that's going to happen nationwide. And I think you're going to find a lot of blue-collar voters in particular are like, no, we do not approve of this. This is a redistribution of wealth to people who, let's face it, are supposed to be higher income people over their lifetimes, the ones who have college degrees and advanced degrees. So it's not popular. It is inflationary. And I think it's really a shame.
The illogic of it, Liz, and I've read this several places, and it hadn't occurred to me at the time, is that the money is targeted to people who already vote for Joe Biden and the Democrats.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. In fact, the highest average student debt are people living in Washington, D.C., and I'm sure that's probably true. Everyone has tons of advanced degrees, but they don't have the money and the earning power to pay for it yet. They probably will get there. But I thought that was a pretty funny statistic, because guess what? They're going to vote for Joe Biden.
Right. Why would why would you give money to people who are already committed to you? Because you doubt.
It's about turnout, John. It's about turnout. We know that a lot of constituencies that the Democrats count on, minorities and young people in particular, are unreliable midterm voters. And I think they're trying to get them energized. There is this enthusiasm gap that Democrats are trying to close that with, not only this bill, but also we're using abortion as a real sledgehammer against Republicans. And I think it's been somewhat effective. I think the enthusiasm gap has closed a little bit, but I think that's more abortion than it is student loans.
I'm speaking with Elizabeth Peake of The Hill, a columnist of Fox News, a columnist much on Fox Business, talking about the American economy and the uncertainty, except for the consumer is certain, gloomy. That's the consumer. Now, there are other things to concern ourselves with. And when we come back, we're going to beat up on the Republican Party. Great fun. Republicans love to beat up on each other. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date, it notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.